Hey, everybody. I'm really...
This is how we do it.
Hey, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well tonight. Really want to apologize for running into some technical difficulties earlier. It wouldn't let me connect in. So I want to make sure we got everybody tuned in tonight. You know, this is Talking Sports Plus, and I am your host, Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith. And what we want to make sure we do, we share some information to you talking about historical black colleges and universities, talking about high schools, talking about middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So we want you to gather everything you have about it, be excited about what's going on with that, so we can share some spirited conversation. I want to make sure we take this opportunity to say that the situation in Kentucky, where the young man came into the high school and fired on the students there and killed 2 and 15. Our prayers is to that community. Our prayers is to America. These things are happening too often in our community, so we need to continue to pray about what's going on and make sure we secure our homes and make sure we take care of our children. Now, we want to get started with the show. Now, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. And my co-host tonight, I know they've been on the line because as I was trying to connect, I saw they had already called in. I want to really thank you guys for calling in and being patient. First, I want to introduce our first co-host, and that's Coach Tony Stallworth. Coach Stallworth.
I'm here.
All right, thank you. Thank you, brother. And we want to introduce Coach Tremaine Edwards.
How y'all doing tonight? Got some spirited conversations, baby. Spirited conversation.
And Coach of the Airways, Coach Dale E-Train Elliott.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Talking Sports. Let's get down to business.
That's awesome. Now, other co-host is Coach Lauren D. Smith. You know, she as a grad student that keeps you very busy, so she's very busy right now taking a test. She want to do the best she can, so we all going to pray that she's successful. My co-host, I do thank y'all for being patient because we was running into some difficulties that it was not on our part here, but it was through Blog Talk Radio. So we want to make sure, you know, we just – take advantage of the rest of the time and be very excited. So, again, you know, thank y'all for being very patient, our listeners being patient. So we'll just kind of move forward with the show. Now, if you want to listen to the show by web link, that's www.blogtalkradio.com /LD Alberto Smith Production. All right, since our time is being kind of cut a little bit, what we want to do is to kind of move forward. If my team don't mind, we can just kind of move forward. The first topic we want to kind of look at in the area of sports is the high school basketball Power 10. And I want us to kind of share some thoughts on that top 10 to kind of see. And I just want us to jump in and just keep going. Name a team that you know that's in there starting from the top to the bottom. And, you know, allow them through our research that we bring the top 10 for the Alabama High School Athletic Association. Let's get started with that.
Well, here we are. As always, Mountain Brook is on top in 7A. It was a very good contest on last week between Mount Buzz and Huff, because Huff was 7 was on top in 7A. They have since then played each other, so it was a split. Very good area tournament coming up there. Carver Montgomery. Carver, staying alive. It's something about those Wolverines. They call it Wolverine Nation. That's representing 6A. You know, I think what we have to look at here is most of the teams now that are where they are in the classification are in so much trying to make sure that they do what they got to do in their area and not worry about classification, because the area tournament is coming up, and so is the sub-regional. That's all that matters. So everybody now has an opportunity to get a part of the second season, which is most important, going down the line.
Well, that's all right, then.
I noticed something that I want to bring to everybody's attention, because 3A Hillcrest has been surfacing up into the higher classes. They were very successful when they came to the Madison tournament at Carver during the holidays and came in second place with Carver. They will be back in town tomorrow night to play Lester. So that will be interesting for the listeners and for those that want to see good basketball, because they will probably be challengers for the 3A state championship, because, mindful, they came out of 3A football championship. So those are some of the things we have to take in consideration of. Also be of Hazel Green, 6 being on the top. Charles Hendleton being a challenger from last year that lost to Winona. They're number 1 and Winona number 2. So there are some good things that are down the line that's going to be very interesting for doing the championship play, which starts after January the 30th, going into every week in succession from sub-regional to state championship. Come see the championship game. It's on the way.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, any other thoughts in regards to schools and in the areas that we are in, and can share some thoughts about those teams that may not have been in the Power 10, but they're in the next level of discussion, which is about the rankings and so on?
I'll take the floor right quick. I'm going to give kudos to Lee Huntsville. I'm reluctant to feed Lee Huntsville, so all of my middle school players that played for me at Chapman Middle School, I'm watching them grow up and take on the role of being number 1 in 5A as far as in the state of Alabama. We have a good 5, good solid 5. We got a 6-8-4 Kobe Brown, which is ranked number 68 in the nation. I think number 3 player in the state in the 11th grade class, junior class. But I'm going to give kudos to Lee Montgomery. That's all I got for the Power 10.
All right, we're having some challenging times tonight, but we're going to continue to grind and keep working. I think I lost 2 of my individuals, 2 of the co-hosts on the board. So I think it's just you and I, Daryl. It's just you and I, Daryl. You there, Daryl?
I am here, Coach. I'm still here.
Okay. Okay, I think you're the only one I haven't lost on the board. That's why we keep getting this static, and so we'll say something about it because we just keep getting it. But we're still on the board. We're still here, but we lost two of the other hosts from some whatever technical difficulties they are having there. But any thoughts you want to kind of share on that high school basketball at this point, Cozera?
Well, Coach, I must say that I'm very proud of the schools and what they're doing. It looks like there's been a turnaround in our area in terms of basketball. I see some of the regular teams of that. I'm hoping Barber County can make it to the big game this year. You know, they have had some struggles, and they have made it to the playoffs. But, you know, I'd like to see them get another championship. That school really needs that attention. If you haven't heard, that Barber County school is struggling. They are struggling, and I think a win in the state this year for them would be phenomenal for that school and bring some much-needed attention back to the program. That's about all I have for that, Coach.
Okay, well, that's awesome. We thank you for that information about Barber County. That's with you over in East Alabama, and they're competitive every year. For years, they went back and forth and winning championships up there. And as you said, things began to kind of change and it's moving in the right direction. And we'll applaud all they're doing over in Barber County because they're ranked number one in Class 2A in the state ranking, statewide basketball ranking this week. Now, what I want to do is to make sure that I just run off some of the statewide basketball ranking in the state of Alabama. We talked about the Power 10, and the Power 10 is those teams from all divisions. Here's the state rankings by division. You know, Coach Stallworth talked about Mountain Brook. He talked about Carver and Montgomery, who's ranked number in the 6A, number one. Coach Edwards shared some thoughts about Leo Huntsville, the school that he feeds through his feeder school. Oneonta, which is in the 4A. You have Plainview in the 3A. These are boys. Barber County, as Coach Darrell was talking about, in 2A. Then Sacred Heart and the 1A, and for the AISA, you have Macon East. I'm about to get – I have Coach Edwards back with me. Now I have Coach Stallworth back with us. We appreciate y'all coming back with us. I think we're just having some small challenges, but we're not going to allow that to stop us doing what we need to do. But I just shared about the boys' ranking on each of those classes. Can we get some rankings in regards to the girls and kind of see how a girl stand?
Well, in girls, you got to look at those teams that have been traditionally sound. In 7A, you have Hazel Green out of Huntsville, and I've been keeping a close eye on Jeff Fields in 1A. I have a chance to watch them. Deschler, long time in 4A, Lauderdale County. Used to have the triplets of Jones. They still rolling in 3A. Sampson, which is local with us there, you know what that's all. That's down in your area. They have a set of twins that are seniors in 2A.
Nope.
And Spring Garden and Glenwood. And it's just a situation right here now where it's crunch time. And with crunch time being in said, one thing about basketball is, regardless of the situation, is you always have a chance more than one time during the season, as unopposed to football, to get an opportunity to represent yourself in championship play. So there's the area tournament. If you ever have your winner, if you're in a situation where you come into the finals of any championship, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 in your class, you lose, you travel. But you play somebody else in another area. It's such a good advantage. And then here's the good thing about it is you can come back and play your area championship representative in a final in your sub-regional. So it's, basketball is on the way now, and it's time to flourish.
Exactly.
I was reluctant to, you know, I mean, Huntsville, to see Hazel Green play. Very small team. You get a lot of pressing action from them. They press a whole lot. From what I see, you know, they have the old Jeff Davis coach that used to coach at Jeff Davis. He's at Hazel Green. And he has to run a similar system that he ran at Jeff Davis. They come out, they press you. If you got a big, you'll eat them alive. But it's hard to get the ball up the floor. And also I have been looking at that Ramsey team, Ramsey girls team that looked good this year too.
And just to kind of jump in right now, talking about our local teams that are and both boys, you know, the boys and girls that are making an impact, dealing with our local girls, Leah Montgomery is competing real hard in that 7A. They're ranked in the polls, and that's always good. Carver Montgomery. Now, we saw them last night. Coach Starwerk and I, we saw them over Lanier, and I think Lanier beat them probably about probably 4 or 5, maybe 10 points. So, you know, that's competitive in that area. Then you have Brubaker Tech in the 5A. We have Montgomery Catholic in the 4A. We have Montgomery Academy in the 3A. Then we have to the east of us, Lynette, in the 2A, and then a little south of us in that place called Monroe County down there, the team named J.F. Shields. They had the 1A. Well, Starwerf, I know you know about J.F. Shields. Can you share some thoughts just about J.F. Shields?
My alma mater. One thing about J.F. Shields is J.F. Shields is kind of like Carver Montgomery. When you go to Carver Montgomery, you had a percentage ratio. Give me 70% pride and condition and commitment, and 10% you may figure the rest of it out. And that's where it is. I'm calling like I see it. Went to see him at McIntosh. Two of the best shooting guards I've seen in 1A basketball, and I've been in 1A basketball, and Darren, you know that, and 2A too for a long time. And I begin to see that, you know what? According to that schedule, it could be something on the round. I'm not trying to be selfish here. I'm just calling it like I see it. Don't let JSC not be one of those teams at the end, because this is postseason for them, and this is what they call it, the light of the season, beginning of the tunnel, not the end.
Yeah, that's all right. Just, and also to just go with our local boys, and I want to make sure I share some thoughts about the local boys. I mentioned the girls, but the local boys, we mentioned Carver because they're ranked number one in 6A, but Leah Montgomery, they're ranked in the top 10. And you have Eufaula, which is to the east of us on the Georgia line. They're in 5A, and they're ranked as well. Montgomery Catholic, they're ranked in the 4A. Prattville Christian, 3A. Up there in Prattville, Alabama, you have Hillcrest of Evergreen, and Coach Stallworth mentioned a little bit about Hillcrest from Evergreen. In football, they just kind of was very successful because they won the state championship in football, 3A. Clinton Smith, the coach down there, we want to make sure we recognize him down at Hillcrest, even though we're talking about basketball, but the boys have been competitive, and now the girls is competitive as well. So both teams are doing well. So the boys in the 3A, they are recognized as they've been doing in the past, because if not mistaken, they went up there last year. Then over there just a little bit south down there in Pike County, you actually have Pike County, 3A. You got Lynette. You not remember Lynette. They won the boys football, 2A. So now they back in it with the 2 6'8", 6'9" players on their that played a wide receiver for them, at least 6'6", 6'7", playing basketball. And then, as I stated earlier, you know, we want to make sure we mention Georgiana down there in Butler County. And for the AISA, you have Evangelist Christian, which is actually right here in Montgomery. So those are the teams that are doing some real pop. But all the teams are doing what they're supposed to be. They may not be called out tonight, but we want to congratulate you on your efforts because, yes, the season is almost over with, but it's, you know, you still have a chance. Because the one thing about basketball, everybody get a chance in the second season. So we'll look forward to seeing you be competitive and do what you need to do. All right. Phase of our show is always Coaching Corner, or Coach's Corner. We have a couple topics we want to talk about tonight. And the first one is, and I want us to kind of jump in as we hear the question or the topic and share the positive and negative things that you think about it, and whatever research we have on it, which we will have some kind of research and share it with nothing but knowledge that you can talk about this. The first one is, should a youth safety bill be put into law by the Alabama legislature? And I want us to jump in and talk about this youth safety issue.
I think it should. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'll be brief on it. I think it should be. I think it should require youth sports, you know, to have training for the coaches. You know, that's like 44 million kids countrywide that participate in youth sports. And coaches need to be able to identify and deal with things like traumatic injuries, concussions, and conditioning. And I think you want to identify injury and stop it in its tracks so it doesn't, you know, compound and get worse. So that's my brief reason why I say it should be in place. Go ahead, Tony.
Let me expound on that, Darren, because you're correct in all three areas, because here's what happened. The Medical Advisory Committee has always been on a list within the High School Athletic Association because they are the recipients of youth sports, and there are a lot of concerns about the protection of kids, especially concussion protocols. I don't want to be derogative and downplay coaches that are out there that's helping those youth athletes, because they're doing it for nothing. But doing it for nothing and not having knowledge of what you're doing is still crippling, because you're putting kids, parents, and the kids all in a situation where you don't have the knowledge of safety. And safety is first. Safety and then sportsmanship. Because all of us know that a long time ago when we had a bump on the head, we come on the sideline, coach says, give us a drink of water. Sit out, rest a while. Come on back in. That's not the case. Those days are gone. You remember those days down in Kansas, don't you, Coach?
yes, sir. I remember those days.
Not that way anymore. And you don't want to get into that, because safety is first, and you are at the risk of making sure you protect those kids at that level. And parents are holding you responsible, not when they play, but when they get hurt. And you don't want a situation like that to occur, and it goes over into the high school. And think about this. The junior high coach is unaware of an injury that happened at that level. And you have damaged career before they have a career. And there, mm-hmm. You're correct. Those are the areas that take most notable. And we have to be mindful that I agree with legislator. Something needs to be put in place, because it's all about our youth, because youth are our future.
All right, I just want to touch with it. I'm going to ask a question. I think Alabama High School Association does a great job with this situation here. I think they educate us coaches very well with this situation. I want to touch bases with it. What implications are they adding with this policy? Can anyone answer that?
Ask the question again, Coach.
I have it. I have Coast Guard work. Basically, what is being asked in this bill, and that's probably what we need to understand. We're just talking about a youth safety bill. Now, what the bill want to do is to make sure there's some kind of training for these coaches that's who coaching these young boys in the youth level, training them on concussion, training them on heat related, training them just like it's first aid, when before it was no requirement for them to do that. So this is sort of kind of protect our youth from some injuries, as Coach Starwer said, that may carry on from being 11 years old, which is not able to play high school, but get to 12-year-old when he's in the seventh grade and he can't play because he suffered an injury early. It don't have to be concussion, but it could be, and I'll relate a story, and we probably shouldn't spend a whole lot of time telling the story, but, my brother, when he played, my youngest brother, when he played football, he broke his hip. And all the time with the way medicine was back then, no one had no way training to kind of respond. We went to the doctor. The doctor kept saying it was me. But he had to carry on a limp for many years on until he had an adjustment made. So just having a little knowledge of what's going on, like you can't go over to the sideline almost and, boy, get some water and go back. Just go and play. And you have to make sure that those youth have an opportunity to succeed. But besides that, they have an opportunity to be healthy in while they're participating in this sport that we love. So it's not just football. It's also pertaining to basketball and anything youth are participating in. So we can make sure they have an opportunity to be successful. And Coach Alfred, you want to add something to that?
No, that's exactly what I need to know. That's all I needed. Thank you.
Okay, you well. Okay. All right. As we talk about youth safety, we have to talk about how our fans play a role in our youth sports and also our high school sports, our college sports, and our professional sports. And our next topic is, why do sports fans hate or envy successful athletic programs?
Well,
there's a million reasons.
That's right.
Okay.
Forgive us on the film, Dale. Don't go with me.
I have to tell you like this, man. You know, you could pick and choose from a list of about 100 reasons, and
okay.
I don't even know what the top five would be if I had to go down a list of. But I think the reality is that people just envy successful programs because they are just, you know, their team doesn't have what the other team has, or, you know, it just could be a plethora, a hodgepodge of things. I don't even know how to begin to describe that. Tony, maybe you can help.
Well, let me say it like this. A lot of times it's because of those situations that not foreseen. Like, for example, if I have a choice or my children have a choice to go to a program in the city school system where I'm zoned to make a choice to go to school A or B, and school A may have outstanding facilities and have shown in the future as being a pathway to get kids to the next level, now I make that choice. Well, in a small socioeconomic environment, and me being in where I used to be at Brantley as opposed to being in McKenzie, a kid may say, well, I live right here on the borderline of making a choice here to catch this bus that goes to Brantley, and this bus goes to Greenville, or this goes to McKenzie. What do I choose? A lot of times it's those variables that entice but cannot be unavoidable because of where you are. And it causes dissension. Everybody talk about Mountain Brook. Do you know what it costs to live in Mountain Brook? Do you know what type of area that is? you know, the type of support. I wrote up on Mount Brook campus one time, a long time ago, and I saw every sign that was sponsorship had lawyer's name behind it. You don't see that everywhere. So it's an environmental situation that promotes those communities. So look, let's not hate. Let's understand. Let's get educated. And here's the big thing about it. Here's the big thing about it. You want to be a part of it? Make a bona fide move.
Exactly. Let me stop y'all right there, Coach. We have a couple callers on. I want to make sure we give them an opportunity to share their opinion in regard to what we're discussing. The caller with the last four digits of 6160, you're on.
How's it going, everybody?
Fine, fine, and you? Thank you for calling.
Guys, this is Darnell checking in. How is everybody? Good, good, good?
Everybody's doing well. Thank you, Darnell.
Hey, listen, I'm an HBCU grad, and I want to talk a little bit about what happened when I went back to my campus a couple weeks ago.
Okay, come with it.
Unfortunately, I went to a school that no longer exists, so I got to tour the old campus of Mobee over there in Atlanta, Morris Brown.
Okay. Okay.
Guys, it was sad, to say the least, as to what I saw. Obviously, everything is in shambles. It looks like something out of an apocalypto movie. It's just, it's absolutely run down and condemned and everything. But on the bright side, I did get a $5 blowjob under the underpass and shot a dice game over near Stiegel's. Bought some crack on 3rd Street, and that was about the highlight of the weekend. I'd like to get your thoughts.
Yeah, we really thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right. We have another caller on, and let me make sure we discuss, give them an opportunity. Well, they may have dropped. The call may have dropped, and it's still there. And call it with the last four digits of 2518. You're now on the air. Just give you your name and your location.
Hello, it's Stephanie. How are you?
Hey, Stephanie.
How are you?
Hi.
Stephanie?
Good, good. I'm a Howard graduate, and I can stick my finger knuckle deep into my butthole. Do you want to see? Listen.
Wait, thank you for that. We're having some beautiful calls tonight. We do appreciate them calling in and voicing their opinion about our historical black colleges and all the other avenues they're going. But we do thank them for calling. We all about listening to what you have to say, but we do ask that you join into a spirited conversation with us, and we appreciate you calling. Again, thank you for calling. But kind of getting back to the topic, which is why sports fans hate or envy successful athletic programs. I really want to this topic came out among our pundits, and it was talking about. Kurt Herbstreit was talking about why fans hate the University of Alabama football program, why they hate the New England Patriots football program, and one of the things was what Coach Stallworth was saying, but we want to kind of add some thought to that as well, because it's a reason. Is it because they're winning? When you're successful, they're winning the championship every year, and when they get a chance to actually win a season and get back to the championship game, then 9 times out of 10, you know, they're kind of left with a situation. But that's basically one of the things they was talking about. People were envy of those school winning, keep winning over and over again. So we just want to kind of just take a few minutes to talk about that as well.
The word is process. Capital process. When you put a process in place and somebody buy into it, it becomes laminated. It becomes concrete. Mm-hmm. And becomes something that's has been bought into. And then when it becomes championship, then what most people don't understand is, even from Alabama, clear that Alabama recruit is going to be in this 1 through 5A class, what you call star. Star means cut above.
Yep.
When somebody gets into the University of Alabama, it doesn't mean a whole lot to the University of Alabama, but it means a whole lot to any other program because they don't have those 1, 2, 3, 4 stars. They have what you call qualifiers that come into the program that are qualifying academics to play athletics, and those coaches have the responsibility of making sure that they can represent the university at that level. That don't have now about mm-hmm. They come in already ready. Why do you see when Alabama loses coaches or doing the papers lose coaches? It does not matter because the coaches come there just like athletes, just to get to the next level. So it's called a ladder, L-A-D-D-E-R. You're climbing, and you got to find somewhere to get on board to get to the next level. So that's what's happening in these programs. You know, it's bought into it because it has represented traditionally that in order to move on to the next level, here's where you stop and here's where you move on.
Exactly. There's any other thought in regards to that? If not, we'll sort of kind of move. We will move to the next topic, and that topic is, and I'd like to get your thought on this, team, is why are college athletic programs described as big business?
Go ahead, Dale.
I guess because it is big business, and anybody that thinks that it's not big business is fooling themselves with the amount of money that's now flowing into NCAA schools from endorsements and from athletic companies. I mean, it can be nothing but big business. It's big business because of ticket sales. It's big business because when you go to one of these campuses and you see like Ohio State or Notre Dame with a $55 million athletic room and that kind of money flowing into that draws top tier players and draws big money. When you see these colleges, the Big Ten colleges, you know, with all of these titles, Michigan State, Ohio, Wisconsin, Louisville, Florida, all these big, big colleges, you can't help but see the money. You got million-dollar coaches. It's big business, guys, and it's going to get bigger. And I can't wait to talk about HBCUs and how they can play into that. That's what I got to say.
Okay.
And I add to Darryl what Darryl is saying, because Darryl's in a world where he knows that if you don't have promotion or advertising, then business only comes up and declines at the same day and the same time. But the bottom line is that education at the level of college is not about somebody getting a teacher's degree or being a biological surgeon when it comes to athletics. But athletics promotes so much revenue into these programs where the university can expound those programs to offer those type of opportunities for those students that are aligned and want to go that way. So it's like a twofold type situation. Here we are. This is what we have to offer. But what caused us to be in position to offer this is because of athletics. I don't have the data, but I will have it, to show you or to give our listeners the opportunity to see what comes from advertising at Ford Motor Company for high schools, Chevrolet high schools, Burger King for high schools, take it to another level. Super Bowl for Budweiser. You know, those are the type of things that put money in, and then go to commercials. Everybody have an opportunity to get a part of the revenue, and which is the key word, and Daryl can attest to that too, at the expense of the athlete or the student athlete. And that's just the way it is.
Right, I have to agree with you, Starboy, with that. With Alabama, I just saw that they made somewhere near $173 million this year. And that's just off-top revenue money, not even, you know, breaking everything down. The big schools are usually ones that make it, going off apparel, ticket sales, concessions at the game. But
right.
they make a lot of money, these schools. And they give it away. You know, they give it away. So it's nothing for them to, you know, give a Howard or a Hampton $1 million to play them. Because it's pennies to them. That's all I got.
Let's go back to the fiscal year of 2015. Coach talks about data. And it's the 231 NCAA division schools with available data generated a total of $9.15 billion. Billion, not million. $9.15 billion in revenue during the fiscal year of 2015. But there were only 24 schools that made more than $100 million. And I can promise you everybody on this phone knows what those 24 schools are. But most of the schools made less than $100 million. So it's big business, my friend.
Before we have any other discussion, I want to make sure I give our call-in number in again. That's 347-857-4192. And just press 1, and we'll call out the four digits of your last four digits of your telephone number, and then we want you to come in and let us know who you are and your location. While we're at this point talking about big business among college athletic programs, what can our historical black colleges, university athletic programs do to be considered a big business?
They would have to get into a considerable marketing practice. They will have to have, from the top down, to understand how to promote those things that will entice the athletes not only to come, but to make sure that those athletes are afforded an opportunity to get to the next level. Daryl said it with a mouthful. It's top down. If I feel like it does not matter what your school is, that I can move through your system for 1 to 3 years and get to the top as an athlete, cut and dry. It's not about the educational process that Dr. Smith, me and you went through, where we knew that 4 years to get an education, just to what? Make $30,000 if we made that.
Yeah. Yep.
the education staff and coach a team, and I did that,
mm-hmm.
and unregrettably, because I know I helped somebody's
child
make it there.
Yes.
That's not the agenda anymore, because it's so marketable and there's so much revenue out there, not only to be made, but to be disposed among those that can engage and get those athletes in the right place. But it all goes back to what you have showcased, just like a concert, and promote it to entice. Those are the words that are put in place to allow that revenue to not only be branded, but to continue to be branded. Until that happens, you don't get a part of it. It's out there. That's the ingredient.
Exactly.
I have an outside, out-of-the-box theory about it, Coach Stallworth. And my outside-the-box theory is this. Remember when – let me start from the beginning. You do realize that HBCUs are outside looking in as far as being part of the top tier. HBCUs are outside looking in terms of revenue, in terms of recruiting, in terms of many, many things when it comes down to college sports. They are on the outside looking in. That was a conversation about paying players at one time. You remember that conversation? That was the big thing. Listen at my theory.
Okay.
Now, schools like Alabama State University, Grambling, and Howard, Hampton, those schools, they are old schools and valuable brands, and as valuable as many schools in the United States. Now, what if you pitch to the president and emphasize to them paying the players would propel those schools and other schools into the ranks of elite college football and basketball? Then it would be a powerful ripple effect. The HBCU brand would be more prominent and more students would apply, and some of the schools' pressing revenue problems would be solved. That's my theory, that if HBCUs could start paying these players, I guarantee you it would be a ripple effect.
I agree, Darryl. But here's where the ripple effect becomes unbalanced for. What do you choose? Now, since all of us being SWAC, Division One schools, small whether you're large, are on the same playing field for back and down. Now are on the same playoffs when it comes to, how to use this term, revenue payoff for student athletes. What do you choose? Do you choose the lower or do you choose the higher? Because what you want to do is get the most out of getting to the next level, because there's no regards to education anymore. So you are right. Even if it's promoted that way, the decision that's being made is to get to the next level of professional athleticism where the money is. And let me say this, Darryl. It will help. It will balance or overbalance to a certain extent, because those that are not qualified for the higher level will be on the same playing field. Because I like what you're saying. I just want to give you the positive and negative of it.
Yeah. All right. That is awesome. That's okay. Trey, go ahead, Trey.
With that issue there, I think HBCUs, I think we take the easy way out as far as the revenue part. Playing the big schools, it's easy to get, you know, $1.5 million to go out and play off. You know, that's an easy $1 million. Now, for us, you know, and this is the key with that. I'm gonna explain my point right here. When we go out and play two or three Division One games against Auburn, Georgia Tech, or Arkansas, New Mexico State, them teams like that, it may look like New Mexico State may look like a small team. But when they put 60 points on your head, it's not small, and all your players are beat up. That $500,000 to $1 million don't look good. But we got to look at this, guys. When these schools play these teams for this $1.5 million, they're usually functioning the whole school, the whole athletic programs.
That's what
of the school.
You're right, because when you go out in basketball and make $600,000, it's not just for basketball.
Exactly.
For every sport.
And I think as HBCUs, we need to get together. Now, at first, you need to get the alumni involved and make your school appealing. It has to be appealing. You have to have an appealing game. I think there's enough HBCU schools to get some good quality classes going instead of going out to beat our guys up, playing those D1 games, then having to come to the SWAC and come in limping. That's all I got for that situation right there.
And to not to add that, we know our time is running kind of tight now, and I know we lost a few minutes earlier, but we have our time limit. But the discussion is super and great, and we just want to make sure we always can bring topics of discussion to our listeners. And the co-hosts here are outstanding. They're sharing great thoughts about how we can address the historical black colleges, athletic, as well as youth safety and dealing with successful athletic programs. We're down to the last 2 minutes that's available on the show. We're on the air for the last 2 minutes, and I want each one of the co-hosts to kind of share that, share something they want to share as closing occur with the show for tonight. And I'll just say it's been wonderful and great, but we're going to make sure it works even better next time. But go ahead on each one of y'all, share some things with so we can close out.
Daryl E. here.
Go ahead, Daryl.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Tony. I adopted your quickness from last week when you're not being here. But I just want to say this.
Go ahead, Daryl.
I just want to say this. I want to speak 20 seconds on Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, man,
okay.
His inability to perform as a passer on the NCAA's biggest stage for the second straight year gave Tua his chance. Stay at Alabama. That's his only choice. Be a backup quarterback. That's all I want to say.
I agree with you, Daryl. Let's be frat brothers. We think alike. We really do. I want to say that anytime that you put a school in. See, here's what you got to look at, and I'm going to be through with this. Everybody jumping on the bandwagon of Tua coming in the game to win. Did Tua win the 12, 13 games to get there? No. It's easy to win a game when somebody has not scouted you. And no discredit to Tua, because what's going to happen next year, he got to adjust to what? But he's busted the table because somebody's going to adjust to what he has done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like the skills of Jalen. The coach likes it because one thing about Nick don't want the ball turnover. And you 25-2, you ain't told me the time. So kudos to you, Jada, to Jalen, because Jalen is a very, very, very good studious person. I had an opportunity to meet him while we were at the High School Athletic Association championship game at Tuscaloosa. And he is a real people's person. Good night to you all. And that's my closing statement.
All right,
I got this to say. I want to say kudos to Alabama A&M for hiring a new coach. And I would like to I'm gonna see how this statement goes when I say it. I want to kudos Alabama State for sending us an excellent receivers coach and Coach Jenkins.
All right.
And that's all I got to say, guys.
All right, awesome, guys. It was a great night, but we come to the end of the show, and we said thank you for listening to us, even though we had some early difficulties, but we made it through, so we'll see you next week at the same time. So we're just going to leave you with some music to kind of end this, and we say good night, have an awesome night. Looking like a Rob Liberace. It's all good. From Diego to the Bay. Your city is the bomb. If your city making pain. Throw up a finger.